Let's get back to the interview I recorded with James Brown last year.
Some of the musicians in your band became famous in their own right later on. Maceo Parker, Fred Wesley, Bootsy Collins. And, you know, I interviewed Bootsy Collins a few years ago. And one of the things he said, I mean, he loved playing in your band. But one of the things he said is that it was hard for him to be so disciplined. It was around 1970, the era when you were recording Sex Machine. And he said, you know, everyone was freaking out, but we were standing up there being the tightest band in the land, having to wear suits and patent leather shoes, and you couldn't jump out in the audience and freak out and act crazy, and that's what we wanted to do. Did you know that someone like, say, Bootsy Collins really wanted to, like, be wild and crazy, and you wanted this really tight, disciplined band?
Well, I taught them organization. They didn't have organization. And discipline is very important. You wouldn't take, you know, I wanted them where they could play at West Point as well as play in the street on the corner. I mean West Point, a Navy Academy place. I wanted them to be able to go anywhere. And see, when I went to play Papa's Bag and stuff like that, I could play for the president, then I'd go and play for the people in the street. That's what you call being totally accepted and being totally straight about what you felt.
Now, do you ever find musicians? I know you used to find musicians, didn't
you? Oh, yes. I'll do it now, but, you know, the musicians now, they have a lot more respect, and they're more intense on doing right.
So, Mr. Brown, what are some of the things you find musicians for back in the day?
Oh, a lot of major things. I did a total program, like a West Point. They got to be clean, neat, the shirt got to be pressed, shoes got to be shine, the suit got to be pressed. They got to play correct. They can't be looking off when they should be watching me, because then they miss something. I find them, because I don't have time to disturb what I'm doing. I mean, we always can get through it, but by the same token, those people would rather not get fined, so they have a little bit more discipline. And that's in every situation. I'm sure the President of the United States has ways of making people account for themselves.
What's the biggest fine you ever gave?
I don't know. Maybe 500.
Now, I want to change musical directions for a second. And through your career, you've recorded, you know, ballads as well as you know, a funk. And in 1969, you made an album with a jazz band, the Louis Bellson Band. And it was mostly or completely ballads on here. And I thought we'd listen to one of those ballads, because it's a really different side of you. You know, we were talking before about how you kind of focused more on rhythm than melody in a lot of your songs. But here you are really focusing on the melody. Can you tell us why you wanted to record this album of jazz standards with a jazz band behind you?
Well, I really liked Oliver Nelson, because he made those horns shout.
And he did all the arrangements on the record.
Yeah, he did. I wanted his stuff, but my concept, which was so different. There's so many customers. I needed a key to turn me on, which was very hard for me, because it was Louis Bellson's song. Who was a drummer, and his wife was Miss Pearl Bailey. It was different. It was also different for me to do It's a Man's World, because I did What Kind of Fool Am I, the Sammy Davis thing, and I knew I wanted to go there, so I'd heard those people do it, and I knew I would do it, so it was really quite an experience.
Well, actually, that's the track I wanted to play, What Kind of Fool Am I.
What kind of fool am I? Yes, I.
It's so interesting to hear you sing like this. So why don't we play it and I'll sit back and listen.
You know, you sound like you're getting ready to sing something then.
No, I wish.
Okay. Let's take a listen now.
Okay.
What kind of fool am I? Who never fell in love? It seems that I'm the only one that I've been thinking of. Tell me, what kind of man is this? An empty shell.
a lonely cell with an empty heart may dwell. What kind of lips are these that lied with every kiss, that whispered empty words of love, that left me alone like thee? Why can't I fall in love like any other man? And maybe, maybe then I'll know what kind of fool I am.
We'll hear more of our 2005 interview with James Brown after a break. This is Fresh Air. Let's get back to our interview with James Brown, recorded last year.
You know, pop songs have always been about love and sex, but they never really used the word sex before in the lyrics, I think. What made you decide to actually use the word sex in Sex Machine?
Well, sex, I don't know, if you're not far from it with the dancing and all that stuff. And the emulation that they do when you, they get on the floor, whether it's ballroom, two-stepping, the Funky Chicken, or James Brown, or all these different things. So, and that's what's in your mind if you go by a pool and see young ladies out there in the bathing suits, swimsuits, because the men don't draw them, the women do. I said I would use that term because we was at this dance. I mean, the fellas, girl was at this dance. And she was just sitting there, and he's sitting there, nobody doing anything. It was kind of just almost like wallflowers. So the fellas jumped up and said, "Get up, I feel like being like a sex machine. And let's dance." So they started that. That was the concept. And it's not vulgar or relating to somebody else's girl or man. It says, "I got mine, and don't worry about his. The way I like it, the way it is. I mean, meantime, Ray's fine. I got mine, don't worry about his, you know."
Was anybody worried, either your producers or disc jockeys, about playing a record with
James,
the word sex actually in it?
James Brown was a producer, so it wasn't no problem.
Okay. Here's Sex Machine, recorded in 1970.
Fellas, I'm ready to get up and do my thing.
Go ahead.
I want to get into it, man, you know.
Go ahead.
Like a sex machine, man.
Yeah.
Moving, doing it, you know.
Yeah.
Can I count it off?
Go ahead.
One, two, three, four. Get up.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Stay on the scene.
Get on up.
Like a sex machine.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Stay on the scene. Machine.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Stay on the scene.
Get on up.
I like a sex machine.
Get on up.
Wait a minute. Shake your arm. Then use your palm. Stay on the scene. I like a sex machine. You got to have the feeling. Shoot your bone. Get it together. Right on, right on. Get up.
Get on up.
Get up.
That's James Brown. He has a new memoir called I Feel Good. How did you learn to dance, and specifically to do splits?
Well, I guess all I come from playing baseball.
Wait a minute. Most baseball players do not do splits.
Well, now they don't. But those years, Jackie Robinson, the first black man, came to Major League Baseball. And he was doing the split on first base. And they thought that was absurd. They couldn't believe it, but it was like a way of clowning. There was another black baseball team called the Indianapolis Clowns and the Kansas City Monarchs before black. There was the Negro Leagues. And eventually when Robinson got into Major League Baseball, he brought some of those traits with him. You know, we miss so much because had those black men that had been able to play baseball then, it would be like the courts is today. 90% of all the players are black.
So you first, I think, danced when you were a kid, and you danced on the street for pennies.
I danced to pay the rent
mm-hmm.
for the soldiers.
Tell us about some of those hardships, about what life was like when you were very young. James Brown, your mother left when you were four, I think, and you lived
yes, uh-huh.
with an aunt. What was the house like?
Well, it was very, very hard. I didn't have a place because my mother left, and my dad took me to see my grand aunt, great aunt, and he was his grand aunt. She raised me and kind of babysitted me, but my daddy did basic menial work that that didn't have any skill about it, but they had to go all over the country to find work, like somewhere like they're doing now. Having to find a place that common labor can make it, you know. They didn't have a lot of room for common labor, even in those days. That's why I tell the kids to get an education today, because we never know what's going to be up there for you, and if there'll be anything for you. So it takes character and the contents of your character, like Dr. King said. And when people can know someone and don't even know the name because they're upbringing.
James Brown recorded last year. He died yesterday morning at the age of 73. We're grateful for the music he leaves behind. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Amy Sallet, Phyllis Myers, Monique Nazareth, Anne-Marie Baldonado, Ian Chillog, Patty Leswing, Sam Brigger, and Jonathan Menjivar. Our engineer is Julian Hertzfeld. Sue Spolin directed the show. I'm Terry Gross.
If you think I love you, well, baby, you're right.